If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you have eternal life and you cannot lose it. How long is eternal? Forever. That's what the grace gospel is. All right, that's what we did on that one. The second thing we did was we talked about repentance. We defined biblical repentance, and here's what the definition was. The physical repentance is to avoid God's physical / temporal punishment. We repent of our sins to avoid God's physical temporal punishment. We're not talking about eternal punishment, here and now punishment. That's what repentance is about. And then we went to Luke 15 and we talked about the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son, and especially the lost son. And we pointed out there that that is not a picture of an unbeliever coming and repenting, but of a believer repenting. Believers need to do this, and we're going to hit that even more as we go along. But today we want to look at some passages where people were told to repent for the forgiveness of their sins. And we want to know why that is. And I've given you a chart on the back of your notes, and that chart is on the screen. We're going to do this top part, Jews in Palestine. And we're showing what they did, why they did it. We're looking at these four today from Acts 19, 8. And I'm not doing them in that order, but it doesn't matter about the order. And then next week, we're going to look at the Gentiles, what they did. And that's about the bottom part of that chart. See what I'm saying? Okay, so we're going to be doing these things, starting with the Jews in Jerusalem. All of that is to say that we want to show you that the Jews in Jerusalem are a different case from the Gentiles, which we are. And we'll talk about the Gentiles next week. So, the Palestine after the death of Christ. Now, let me remind you of some things we've already said about that. That is that John had started, and by the way, follow along in your outline, John had started a national revival. He came, remember, baptizing and repentance for the remission of sins. That's what he was telling the Jews of Israel, those who lived there in Palestine. And the writers say that all of Jerusalem and all of the surrounding regions, which would include Samaria, they went out to see John. And they went out there confessing their sins and repenting. Many of them did. Some of them maybe weren't serious, but many of them were, and all of them went out there. Even the leaders went out. They received this baptism and repentance and remission of their sins, that is, the forgiveness of their sins, but they did not receive salvation, did not receive eternal life. John said, I'm pointing you to someone who's coming down the road after me. And 6 months later comes Jesus. And John is standing one day, and he's with some of his disciples, and he said, see Jesus walking by, and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See? That's the one. That's where you get eternal life, by following Jesus and believing on him. See? So remember what John's message was. John's message was one of repentance for the remission of sins so that you can avert the punishment of God. And God's punishment that was coming on the nation Israel was going to happen at 70 A.D., we know it now as 70 A.D., but he says there's going to be a judgment coming on this nation. If you'll repent for the remission of your sins, be baptized, then you will avoid that punishment that's coming in A.D. 70. Now, his ministry then was preparation, not salvation. He pointed them to Jesus. So, and then some went on to believe. Some people of John's converts went on and followed Jesus. They left John and followed Jesus, and many of them were his disciples and became the apostles, and they were following him, and they believed on him, and when they believed on him, what did they do? What did they have? Eternal life, see? When they believed on Jesus, they received eternal life. See, their sins had been forgiven because they had repented and were baptized by John. Their sins were forgiven. And then they had received eternal life because they believed on Jesus. You see the difference there? Going to John, you had your sins forgiven, and coming to Jesus, you believed on him, you received eternal life. Now, I said in your, I don't want to mention it here in your notes, but let me say two things about that. First, forgiveness of sins and receiving eternal life are not synonymous. They're not the same thing. They are two different things, and they did not come to them. They were not simultaneous with them. They didn't happen at the same time with these Jews in Palestine. They had their sins forgiven by being baptized and confessing their sins before John. They came to Jesus, and then they received eternal life. So there were two separate things not received at the same time or in the same way. And one more thing, they did not receive the Holy Spirit. Well, why didn't they receive the Holy Spirit? See, people, this is a whole nother thing, and I'd love to get into it, and I will eventually. They did not receive the Holy Spirit. And some people say, oh, see, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit, they got the Holy Spirit later. That means then you get saved, and then somehow, sometime later, you get the Holy Spirit. Not true. There are churches in this town who teach that after you're saved, then you have to come, and they give invitations to come and receive the Holy Spirit. No, you don't receive something you already have, see? But it's a mix-up. Just looking right at this, they would say, oh, no, you have to receive the Holy Spirit later. But right now, these people in Palestine did not receive the Holy Spirit. Why not? Well, John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39 say this. Jesus is speaking. It's on the last day of the feast. And he says, if anyone wants to come to me and be thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes, this is verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And then John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts an explanation on here. He says, notice if you're looking at a Bible with the red, Jesus' words in red, now it changes to black. Because these are not the words of Jesus, this is the words of John explaining what Jesus meant by that. And here's what John says. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. The reason these people did not receive the Holy Spirit, having believed on Jesus, having been baptized by John, having repented of their sins, they still didn't have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. It would not be given until Jesus was glorified, and that we know today as Pentecost. And we'll talk about that in a minute. All right. So, the day of Pentecost came. And in the day of Pentecost, this is in Acts chapter 2, 1-4. Let me read it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Notice it wasn't fire, as of fire, like fire. And one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I won't even get into that one yet. Later, we will. But the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and it filled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice something else there. Not only were they filled, they were also baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know that? It doesn't say that there. It says they were filled in verse 4. But, well, in chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, 1:5 had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, this is Jesus talking to them at his ascension. Are you familiar with that chronology there? Jesus was crucified, and then 40 days later comes the ascension. He's on the earth after his death and resurrection. He is on the earth for 40 days, talking to the disciples, teaching them, and so forth, for 40 days. And then, at this point, Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he's talking to his disciples, saying, I'm going to leave you. And he does. He leaves. But before he goes, he says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you know what Pentecost means? Pentecost means 50. Pentecost is 50 days from Passover. From the death of Christ until Pentecost is 50 days. If the ascension happened 40 days after his death, how many days we have left before Pentecost? 10. Yeah. So not many days from now, he's talking about 10 days from now. See? So he's saying in Acts 1, verse 5, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But when we come to not many days from now, when we come to Acts 2, 1 to 4, we hear them filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say anything about being baptized. But we go on. In chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, Peter is talking about what happened at the house of Cornelius. Chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. I don't want to get off track here, but let me just say this much. Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius wanted to know about the gospel. And so Peter gave him the gospel. And when he got back to Jerusalem, guess what? The other apostles called him on the carpet. What are you doing? You're going in and giving the gospel to Gentiles? Gentiles aren't supposed to have this. This is ours. He's our Messiah. And Peter said, no way. I was there. I went in and preached the gospel to them, and as soon as they believed, then the Holy Spirit fell on them. Here's the word. As on us at the beginning. Well, where's the beginning? Acts 2, verse 4. That's what happened at the beginning. And so Peter says that it happened as on us to us. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And then verse 16. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See? So there's a baptism there in Acts 2, 1 to 4, even though the word baptize is not used. Because Peter said at the beginning, I remembered the words of the Lord that you're going to be baptized. So baptism is there as well. So they were filled in verse 4, and they were baptized. Now, when you get this CD, you can listen to that more carefully. Or stop into my office tomorrow morning and say, I don't know what that is. Boy, I would love it. I'd love to preach this same sermon to one person who wanted to hear it again. So, on the day of Pentecost now, the Holy Spirit has come, filled them, baptized them, and Peter stood up to preach. Now, I've left out where all the people heard the word in their own language and all that. But Peter stood up and preached in their language. That is probably Aramaic there in Jerusalem. Now, what was his message? His message was, Jesus is both Lord and Christ. He is Lord. He is deity. He's God. And he is the Christ. He's Messiah. What did John say about that? John said, if you believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, Messiah, deity, if you believe that, you have eternal life. And Peter is saying the same thing that John said. Jesus is both Lord and Christ. He went through the life of Jesus. He went through the prophecy of the resurrection from the Old Testament. And then he said, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit. Now, the people believed. Now, how do you know they believed? I'm looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 28. This is one of the really, verse 38, one of the really hard scriptures people have to understand. Here's what it says. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Now, I'm understanding from this that these people were already believers. Peter's message was, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is deity. He's both Lord and Christ. Verse 36 is summary. Jesus is both Lord and Christ. They were pierced to their hearts when they heard that. So the statement is, they were pierced to their heart. How do you interpret that otherwise? They believed that. If they believe that, they have eternal life. And then from the question they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, this is not the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? They didn't say that. What shall we do? Here they heard the message. Jesus is both Lord and Christ, and they believed it. They had eternal life. Now they want to know, what shall we do? Because we know we crucified him. What shall we do? What's God going to do to us? And Peter says, his answer is, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I say to you that that tells me that these people were already saved. Let me say it again. Peter's answer was, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that they were already saved from that answer? He didn't use the word believe. If someone says to you, what must I do to be saved? What's your answer? Believe. Don't you say another word until you say believe. Yeah. Make sure they understand. If you want to be saved, the first thing you do is believe. Peter didn't say believed. So he understood their question was not, what must I do to be saved? But now that I'm saved, and we just crucified the Lord of glory, what shall we do? And he said, don't you remember what John told you to do? You haven't done that yet. So your sins are not forgiven. Or you have eternal life because you believe on Jesus. But your sins are not forgiven because you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus, and you have not had the remission of sins because you haven't repented. See? Now, in the literature of this convention, you will read, well, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved, but you have to repent. Well, how do you know you have to repent? Well, it says so right there in Acts 2:38. Peter said, repent and be baptized. They say, oh, you just have to repent, not baptized. What? Either you don't have to do either one of them to be saved, or you have to do both. Okay? Now, I'm telling you, they're already saved. But in order to avoid the temporal, physical judgment that God's going to bring upon the nation, they have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Okay? Now, that's the people living in Jerusalem. There's the Palestinian Jews. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, had the same experience. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He was, in Acts 7, he was standing around while they stoned Stephen. And they laid their garments at the feet of one Saul of Tarsus. He was persecuting Christians. And he was standing there allowing them to throw stones and kill Stephen. And that's what his whole job was. And in chapter 9, he got letters from the high priest and said, I want to go up to Damascus and get all these Christians and bind them and bring them back here for persecution and for destruction, for death. That's what he was doing. He was on his way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Well, when he got on the way there, he got near Damascus. A big light came on him, and he fell off his horse. Man, that's a light. I was talking to a class one day, and I said, well, some people say it was sunlight, and some people say it was epilepsy, or some people say whatever. Light from one of the eaves at the house came on him. And I said, I don't believe any of those, but I do believe it was sunlight. And all they it was sunlight, S-O-N. The Son of God shined on him, knocked him off his horse. So here he was on the ground, and he heard a voice. And the people with him heard the voice. And that voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But Saul said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. What? Right there. It was Saul believed. Astonished and trembling, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Same statement that the Jews in Jerusalem had said. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I noticed that Jesus didn't say, believe. Isn't that neat? If you understand that the gospel begins with the word believe, then you know that Saul is not asking, what must I do to be saved? He's asking, now that I'm saved, now that I see who you are and I believe, what do you want me to do? And so he told him, go into Damascus, and somebody's going to find you, Ananias. He's going to find you. And so he did. He went into Damascus, and he went to a place on Straight Street. And Ananias came and found him, and he said to him, this is going to sound familiar, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now that's in chapter 22 of Acts. See, Paul, the historical setting is here in chapter 9. He told the story again in Jerusalem before a crowd of Jews in chapter 22. He gave another record of it to Agrippa as he stood before him in chains. So we learn from all three of those what happened. And we know here now that in chapter 22, verse 16, that Ananias told him, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Telling him to do the very same thing that those Jews in Jerusalem had to do. See, now that you're a believer, in order to avoid the temporal, physical punishment from God, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So, he then received the Holy Spirit. We know that from Acts 9, verse 17. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road that you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, received the Holy Spirit when he was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sin. Now, disciples of John, remember there are several groups here. Disciples of John is another one in Acts 19. And let me read these verses. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit or whether the Holy Spirit has come. And he said to them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, to John's baptism. They had heard John's baptism. Apparently were baptized by John, received sins forgiven, repenting of their sins, but they had not heard that the Holy Spirit came. And Paul said to them, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, quickly, what did they do? Well, being disciples of John, and this is in your notes, being disciples of John, they had received the baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And apparently, they had also believed on Jesus and received eternal life. But Paul recognized that something had happened. They had not been baptized in the name of Jesus, and they had not received the Holy Spirit. Somehow he discerned that. And that's why when he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Maybe they left Jerusalem before the Holy Spirit came, before Pentecost. And they did not have the Holy Spirit. So Paul then laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. One more group. The group is the Samaritans. This is in Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Philip was preaching. There was a great persecution in Jerusalem. Christians were scattered. They were scattered all over. And those who were scattered, verse 4 tells us in Acts 8, those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel. Philip went to Samaria. After he preached a while, people believed. They believed on the name of Jesus, 8:12 says. And when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they believed. If they believed, what did they get? Thank you. Eternal life. That's right. I don't know how they do it on TV. They say to somebody eternal life. Eternal life. Whatever. They received eternal life. They believed. Then they were baptized in water. Verse 12 says, both men and women. Philip baptized these people. They believed. They received eternal life. Philip baptized them. And then the word got to Jerusalem that these people had believed. And they sent Peter and John down there, and they laid hands on them. And here's the way it goes in verse 4. And when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Wow. All of these people are Palestinian Jews. There were three basic groups. There were the Jews of Jerusalem, there were the apostles of John, and there were the Samaritans. Do you know what would have happened if Peter and John had not gone to Samaria to lay hands on these people? What do you think he accomplished? One thing, he got the Jews to put their hands on Samaritans, on these dirty old Samaritans. They hated each other. They had a separate religion in Samaria. Remember in John 4, Jesus met the woman at Samaria, and she said, "You people worship in Jerusalem, but we worship in this mountain, Mount Gerizim." They had a Samaritan worship of God, Jehovah, and they had a Jerusalem worship of Jehovah. You know what would have happened if God hadn't sent Peter and John up to Samaria to lay his hands on them? There would have been a Samaritan church. But no, we have Peter and John from Jerusalem laying his hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now we have one church. It's one church, all Jews and Samaritans together. Later on, we're going to see next week that Peter goes to the Gentiles, lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now we have one church. One more group. And that group is the disciples of John. The disciples of John might have been another group as well. But Paul, a representative of Jerusalem, he's out there in Ephesus, and when they believe, he lays hands on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. We have one church. It's one church. It's not the Jewish church and the Gentile church. Frankly, I have a little problem with these people who are saying, "Oh, we are the Messianic Jews, a Messianic fellowship." I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying this, that it sounds like we have a Jewish church and a Gentile church. It's one thing if in the back when we have Haitians back there who don't even speak English, or we have Spanish churches, they don't speak English. That's one thing. But to say, "Oh, well, we all speak English fine, but we're having a separate church over here." I think that if we hadn't had this laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, there would have been all kinds of fragmentation around. Well, that's the Palestinian Jews. How they received the Holy Spirit, they have Pentecost, and then the laying on of hands of these various ones. But the key is they had to be baptized and repent for the remission of sins because they were Jerusalem Jews. Because John the Baptist's ministry had been there, and John the Baptist said, "You have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will avoid AD 70, words to that effect. Since they hadn't done that, they had to do that in order to have their sins forgiven. But remember, they believed, and that's how they received eternal life. It's always that. It's always been that from the time of Adam. You believe, you have eternal life. That's the answer. That's the gospel. Let me tell you something, folks. That is the key to serving the Lord. You cannot serve the Lord apart from the grace gospel. You can't serve him effectively. That's what Hebrews says. Let us hold fast to grace that we may serve God acceptably. That's what we're trying to do here. Take that CD, take that Gospel of John, and there are more around. Take as many as you need. We get them free. And that tells the grace salvation. Pass them along and use it to tell people about Jesus Christ. If someone says to you, "What's your church like?" "My church is a grace church. We believe in the gospel of the grace of God. Believe on Jesus Christ and you will have eternal life." That's where we are. And that's where we're going to stay, by God's grace.